Welcome to the Pulpit and Pew Podcast. My name is Zach Rowland. I'm here with my pastor, Matt Higginbotham.
Hey, guys.
It's a balmy Monday afternoon.
It's the early, late July, early August right now. It's what you get.
I got in the car Friday, and my dash said 118 degrees. Today, it only said 114, so...
Car's, pulled off a car's little bit. Lying, though, for sure. There's no way it's 114.
On the dash? The dashboard,
I mean, if you're like, touching it, yeah, it's hotter than that, yeah. I'm sure.
Yeah, I don't know where it reads from, but it felt right. So,
I believe that if it wasn't 114, yeah. It felt like what 114 should feel like.
Yes, yes. There was no wind chill factor inside my car when I sat in it.
Even turn the AC on, it's just blowing hot air right at your face for 5 minutes or whatever.
Yep.
All right, well, good. Well, what's been going on? You've had 7 or so days since we were last together.
Yeah, not a whole lot. Took a new job at work and a new position, and it's going to involve a little bit of travel.
Every podcast you say, I've got a new job. I got a new job.
It's going to involve some travel, and I'm trying to plan that so it doesn't impede our podcasting.
I appreciate you really, really maximizing our podcasting time together.
Yep.
I'm sure Taylor appreciates that being of your utmost concern as well.
Yeah, I can always tell that, like, when I text her, like, oh, by the way, you know, remember, I got a podcast this evening. She's always like, oh, great. Her response is like, okay, which is, I can tell, is like...
You don't think it's enthusiastic.
I'm not excited. I'm okay with this, but I'm not... don't ask me to be excited about it because I'm here with these kids. Yeah.
Yesterday after we had the ordination service for Seth and Jonathan yesterday evening, afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, we went to dinner because we had some family in town for that. It was a good service, good time. And then I remembered that Danielle was like, hey, we need to go do some stuff at the high school to go move some stuff around at the high school. And that was one of those like, sure, sort of texts, like, sure. But it was really like,
Is it not the Rockdale High School, right?
Thrall
High School. So you have to drive all the way to...
I actually saw Taylor.
Where?
Leaving your mother's house.
Yesterday?
Mm-hmm. Yesterday evening. So it was after... I talked to her today. She said, like Rudy went to a play or something. Mm-hmm. Brenham.
Yep.
So, yeah, she was leaving. We actually drove by your parents' place.
Mm-hmm.
And then Danielle remembers she didn't have her keys to the school. So we drove back into town. And I think we caught Taylor. I think I saw Taylor the second time as we were driving past your parents' house. She was late.
Yeah, she Ruth went to some play in Temple with my mom and grandma.
I heard like Brenham. Was it Temple?
Oh no, it was Brenham. I always assume it's going to be Temple.
Yeah,
because that's where a lot of my family lives. But yeah, it was Brenham. Okay. Yep, that's right.
Yeah, so we got that all moved. It was like, you know, 1 million pounds of wood that had to be moved from this piece of the stage area to this piece of the stage area.
The one place that still has like good quality solid wood furniture is a small town high school.
No, it's all theater. It's all theater stuff. So it's like literally lumber that hasn't been transformed into set pieces that look sort of like things. And so that was all stored on, there was like a handicap ramp to get up to the stage.
Yeah.
And so it was all stored there. And the fire marshal was coming today to like check the school off. And Danielle had got an email while she was in New York that basically said, This is not
an approved.
This will not pass if the fire marshal comes out like this.
Just don't let any handicapped people on stage. They're obviously not getting up there until you get the wood out of the way.
Yeah. So
okay.
But yeah, so that was the evening till 10:30. We sent Sierra back off to college, so she's already back at UMHB. Here we are at the end of July. They start early, but she's got RA stuff early. I think Hannah goes next week, maybe, for freshman orientation stuff. Like it's
Is this gonna be Sierra's third semester?
Third year.
Third year?
Third year. Sierra's a junior.
Okay.
Yeah, Sierra's a junior.
That went by a lot faster than it felt like, but okay.
Yeah, I imagine it feels to her a lot like college felt to us, where it kind of, you know, goes on long time. You know, freshman year seemed like it was real long.
Yeah.
I'm sure she feels like that, but as a parent on this side, like it's all very rapid.
It was very fast.
Yeah, it's all very rapid. It comes at you fast, man. Luckily, I've got a 3-year-old, so I'll be doing this for a while.
Yeah.
living life right. So we're here today, as always, to discuss some things in our lives and in the Word of God, or generally in our lives, how to apply those things to our lives. So what are we talking about today, Zach?
The talking about part two in the trifecta.
This was not a trick question.
We're talking about three fruits or three portions of the fruit of the Spirit.
All right. So we're on our second kind of series of three-part series on the fruit of the Spirit. So this is the second, the middle three inside of the nine.
The two towers. The Empire Strikes Back.
Okay.
Second.
It's two towers. Number two for there. Okay.
Yeah. Fellowship of the Ring, Two Towers, Return of the King.
I believe you.
Yep.
If I had to guess which one it was, I would have got that right.
It's the one that's got two in the name. Anyway, enough Lord of the Rings.
So if you want to know more about the first three fruit of the Spirit, that's love, joy, peace. We dealt with those last week.
You can find those somewhere
around here, I'm sure. Today we're dealing with patience, goodness, faithfulness. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness.
Kindness, goodness, or forbearance.
Yeah, okay.
Kind of, because we'll get into it. I mean, it's the first one, so we can get into it, but I like the word forbearance. Like, they're both obviously good descriptors, but I like forbearance because it has kind of this connotation of, like, don't punish someone or don't be capricious when you otherwise may be justified to do so.
To bear along with someone in their
trials and struggles. With them. Yeah.
Forbearance is just not a word I use ever. I mean, honestly.
I'm going to grab my phone here and look up the definition of the word.
Yeah, so it's not a word that's often used. It's probably why it's been moved to, like, that's KJV. NKJV, I guess, is using forbearance.
What is this? This is NIV.
All right. So it's not a word that's in my normal usage there. You know, people often will speak about patience, and they'll be like, well, don't. That's the one thing you don't want to pray for is patience, because they ought to give you a test for it. All right, you got forbearance there. What is the dictionary definition?
Right, so, the first definition is patient self-control, restraint, and tolerance, a.k.a. forbearance from taking action. The second description, which is the one that this tracks with what goes through my brain when I hear it, is the act of refraining from exercising a legal right, especially enforcing the payment of a debt. So it has kind of that feeling of somebody could owe you something, but you're going to forego collecting that debt.
Yeah, I guess in that sense, forbearance is a technical banking term.
Yeah.
That it's still probably being used. If I was in, like, the banking credit industry, mm-hmm. that would be something that exists there.
Yeah, loan forbearance. Yeah.
That they're overlooking mm-hmm. something that is rightly owed.
Yeah. I think that's why I like it, because it kind of adds that extra dimension to just patience, just being patient with somebody. They're taking a long time to do something, but forbearance is maybe they are doing something or did something that would otherwise cause you to act differently towards them.
Yeah, I do like that. Insofar as, you know, last week we talked about like joy mm-hmm. and how I said, you know, that word is.
Yeah,
like a charis based word. It's off of that word grace. It's mm-hmm. kara, so it's but charis is grace, and joy is kind of like the, you know, things that we have that we can be grateful, things we're responding to that were graciously given to us, and then you see this as like the idea of extending mm-hmm. in some way it's extending grace to people who are like would otherwise not. I mean, grace is unmerited by its nature, so. People who owe you a debt,
mm-hmm.
yet you're being gracious towards them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so that kind of fits in the general mindset of what we are as Christians, right? We're grace. We've been given mm-hmm. grace, and we're expected to exhibit that as well. And that's not always easy, I guess.
No.
For most of us, sure.
Being patient is not easy for me. a lot of the time.
Yeah, just generally like a general basic definition for patience to wait in the waiting for something to occur, not taking the action to make it, but just to wait.
Yeah.
Yeah, waiting on the Lord is not easy.
Waiting on the Lord, I would say, is patience. I don't think you can practice forbearance towards the Lord. You can only practice
forbearance you owe me this.
Towards other people. So yeah, there's that distinction as well. But yeah.
Yeah.
It's a way we can be godly towards other people. Like the way he gives forbearance of our sin.
So how would that play out in, I'm just trying to think of some places where this may be useful, like inside of a family dynamic between maybe between a marriage, inside of a marriage. Or a parent-child relationship. Where were some places that we might be able to practice?
My first thought, it didn't even go to family, right? Like kids, obviously, kids will do stuff, bad stuff, stuff they shouldn't do, and you practice forbearance, but it's easier because it's your kids. My mind, and maybe it's just because of like the places I've worked and stuff like that, goes towards people that you have non-familial relationships with, like coworkers or service workers or something like that. Coworkers especially, like some people just are catty people or something, you know, they're quick to quip and it's easy to like get sucked into an argument. And when I've had the wherewithal to do so and just kind of let people be mean. It's generally like always, not just in like the Christian sense, but even in just like the sense of wisdom, it's a lot of times the best just to let them go. Because eventually they'll get to be known as the person who does that or something, you know, you just like, just not returning fire whenever people try to criticize you or something like that.
Yeah, and you mentioned service workers, but that's, you know, and they get beat up on a lot, right? Yeah. They get, you know, you're dealing with a waitress and your food's wrong and the waitress put the order in right, but someone in the back messed it up. Mm. You're not yelling at the person in the back. You're yelling at the waitress who's like this middleman who's shoved in there, right? And to look at people with grace, even as we're extending patience to them as they're learning their way through things or maybe, you know. Yeah, but it is difficult. It's difficult to wait. For anything, we're fast food people, right? We drive through, and I can't tell you the number of times I've been mad in the McDonald's drive through because it's just not quick enough.
We practice patience, and we make everybody in line practice patience behind us while we dig through the bag. And then when we find the wrong thing or don't find the right thing, we practice forbearance and ask them, "Can you fix nicely? This is not my burger." Or
yeah. Yeah, it is. Two
different thoughts, but the same thing, the same act.
Yeah, and I think the reason this is listed as part of the fruit of the Spirit is as we grow in our Christ-likeness, it is naturally going to be apparent in your life that you're someone who practices patience or forbearance.
Yeah.
Like you don't have to be, you don't have to like take a deep breath and calm yourself and be like, I'm going to be patient right now. I'm going to, like, it grows in you.
Yeah.
And I think that's, for me at least, it's one of the areas where I can see, like, oh, the Lord has some real work to do in me because I see myself being either anxious, like not, like anxious for things that I'm desiring to have happen, or I'm just upset about a bunch of stuff that more mature spiritual version of me would probably just let roll off my back. And so I can see, oh, there's room for growth inside of me. And I think all the fruit of the Spirit, we can evaluate and say, are there things that I'm, where I struggle to see this in my life manifest? Does it show up or not? So the patience is one of those things.
Yeah. I think a lot of these things tie together too. We'll hit self-control, the last one, next week. But I think that those two are linked just the same way that patience is also linked to, or forbearance is linked to, the ones we talked about last week.
Yeah.
There's a common thread through all this.
Almost like there was an intelligent author who put this stuff together, who understands things in a way that's pretty unique.
Almost.
Maybe.
Yes.
Maybe.
Yes, indeed. Yeah.
All right. So that's cool. Patience. Any other good nuggets on patience you want to throw out right now, Zach?
No, I'm tired of waiting. Let's go to the next one.
Move quickly. Get on with it.
Kindness.
Kindness.
So how would you describe that?
What did I say? Kindness. I'm trying to think because I used kindness in my sermon Sunday. So I'm trying to think of what exactly I said kindness was. I think I said, yeah, there it is. Acting with grace. Acting with grace.
Yeah.
Right. To kind of fit grace into the fruit of the Spirit as kind of a unifying theme, kind of a crimson cord running through it. Yeah, kindness is the idea of acting with grace towards people. So like in the sermon, it was, you know, David showing kindness to the exhausted soldiers who didn't cross the river.
The Egyptian?
Well, that's the second one, yeah. So kindness, insiders, like his people. He had those 200 soldiers who didn't cross the
river. Oh, yeah.
And then he came back, and everyone's like, don't give them any money. Like, they can have their wives and kids back. Don't give them any of the spoil. And David's like, no, we're gonna be gracious. We're going to be kind. Yeah. And so he's extravagant in his kindness to them. And then he's kind to outsiders, which was, I had two versions of my sermon on Saturday night. And y'all got the better version because I preached one on Saturday night at like 8. I didn't love it. And so I made some not insignificant shifts in it to get to where it was for Sunday morning. But part of that was this idea of, I just lost my whole train of thought as I was thinking.
You know what it made me think of is so, and I guess I just wasn't thinking clearly through this, but in that sermon where the Israelites, David, you know, is fighting the Philistines. Is it the Philistine? And the Amalekites come through?
He was going out with the Philistines to fight Israel officially.
Oh, yes.
As what it would have been. And then the Philistines said, we don't want you fighting with us because we don't trust you.
Yes, that's
right. Which was a good decision. And the Amalekites raided his town while they were gone. It's
always the Amalekites.
Yeah.
It's always the Amalekites. But so the guys who stay back and don't go with them to counter raid the Amalekites and get their stuff back. I imagined that there was a camp that they were leaving behind to go fight the Amalekites. And how did the Amalekites end up with everything in the first place? All the men left the camp, right? Yeah. So it's like, you know, what you need to teach your army is that the guys who stay back and guard the camp aren't any less deserving than the guys who go out and on the raid.
Like, yeah, and
it made sense to me in that strategic sense.
Yeah, and that was the statute that David made from then on. Yeah. It's like those who stay with the baggage will share the spoil with those who go to fight.
Otherwise, nobody wants to stay with the baggage. Like, yeah.
Correct. Or everybody wants to stay with the baggage, but there's no spoil. But, you know, otherwise what happens is you go back and all the baggage is gone.
Yeah.
Because there's a third party who's running in.
Yeah.
My son played a lot of Fortnite.
Yeah.
And he'd be in there shooting somebody and they'd be fighting each other. Bam, 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 bam.
Yeah.
And you got some guy who's like just runs in from the other side and just kills him.
It's called getting third party.
Yeah. He's like, hey, I got third party.
Yeah.
He's screaming at the TV or whatever. And then I see him do it. And I'm like, I thought you don't like when people do that.
I don't.
No, I don't. I don't.
That's why I do it.
Yeah. So, but kindness is acting with grace. The idea that we will, every action we take has grace behind it. And so when we speak kindly, we're speaking graciously to someone.
Yeah.
Act kindly. We're extending grace in our actions.
Mm-hmm. Kindness is kind of a hard one to explain because or to define in a satisfactory manner because it's so straightforward that you want to add a bunch of stuff to it. But no, it's just kindness. It's
not niceness per se, right? No. So like niceness is like a kind of a virtue of our secular age, this idea that you just don't be mean, don't say anything that would upset anybody. We're going to be nice. We're not going to talk about politics or religion. It's just going to be a nice time.
Yeah.
And kindness isn't that, but a lot of it will seem similar. When I respond to someone graciously, that's nice. You know, there's people who are always trying to ferret out bad actors in the church. And I'm not unthankful for those people. But they said, you know, these guys will say the 11th commandment. That's what a lot of people get in trouble for breaking for, which is thou shalt be nice. And so, like, when somebody says something, you know, judging, let's say someone came at me and judged me for sin in my life, and then everyone circled the wagons and went against the person who just talked about me for my sin in my life, it's because they weren't being nice. Yes, they've broke that unwritten 11th commandment. Maybe
I heard that, but I don't think I ever have. And that's a terrible 11th commandment.
Yeah. Well, and their point of calling it that is, like, it's clearly not a commandment. Like, we're not called to be nice. But I do think if everyone thinks you're a jerk,
yeah,
it's probably not because you're not nice. Well, you certainly aren't nice. But I wonder if you're kind. Like, are you kind in there? Because that's not a badge of honor to be deemed as unkind, to be a person who's unkind. Like, that's putting on the works of the flesh. We're supposed to be kind. Kindness should be growing in me day mm-hmm. by day, week by week,
mm-hmm.
month by month. And it's not the same as niceness. It's not just saying what the secular world around us would say. It's not never telling the truth. But it is trying to extend to someone the same courtesy that I would want extended to me mm-hmm. in conversation or an argument. Like, if we were at a disagreement,
mm-hmm.
for me to paint you in a light that would not be what you would agree to, and then to set up that straw man argument and say, this is what you believe, and da-da-da-da-da.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's unkind. It's not nice. It's unkind to treat someone like that, because we wouldn't wish to be treated that way. The golden rule says,
yeah,
we should do unto others as we would have them do unto us.
Mm-hmm.
So
kindness, like everything else, kind of a moderation thing. Not moderation, but there's like a middle point you're trying to aim for.
No, I think you should be infinitely kind. I don't think kindness and niceness are synonymous. Okay. Like the Holy Spirit, like we're told one of the fruit of the Spirit is kindness.
Uh-huh.
So we should be kind.
Uh-huh.
But just like it's,
but you're also going to understand that like kindness is not in the way Paul is using it is not going to trample on any other commandments or biblical virtues. We're like,
yeah, absolutely not.
Yeah,
yeah. So
whereas
kindness,
niceness will. If you just be nice just for the sake of being nice all the time, you're not going to do the things that you would be commanded to do.
Thou shalt be nice doesn't evangelize.
Yeah.
Thou shalt be nice doesn't call sin.
Seeker sensitive.
Yeah. Yeah. Full seeker embracing. You know, you don't need to change. You're fine just the way you are. Like we played a clip from that Lutheran church lady a few weeks ago, and she was talking about repentance, and she's like, I get real uncomfortable because who am I to tell people that they should stop doing these things? Like,
you're not. You should be telling them what this says.
Correct. Yeah. And I don't.
Yeah.
So she's trying to be nice, but the Bible doesn't. There's nowhere in there are we told to be nice to one another. We are to be kind, though, and that is generally like to treat people in the way that mm-hmm. extends them grace.
Mm-hmm.
Because even the person who has made themselves my enemy, my ultimate goal for them as a believer, if I'm spirit-filled, should be that they would come to know Jesus Christ, crucified, raised from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
And I should be extending consistently the offer for them to come across. And kindness, I think, is a way to loosen that up, and that I'm not, well, they may be throwing mud on me. I'm not throwing mud on them. And when I speak about them, I try to speak true words about them, even if I'm speaking against what they're doing. I'm speaking truthfully that they can hopefully one day be converted.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think that is probably a worthwhile discussion on kindness and niceness, because I don't think being nice is it's not a biblical command.
Yeah, but I agree.
If everyone thinks that you're rude, I do wonder if you've failed to practice kindness, and if you're leaning into this like a brash, abrasive thing as if that's a virtue.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it is. I think kindness is a virtue.
Yeah.
And we should shoot for that, but that doesn't mean we compromise as well.
A long, many moons ago, when I was teaching Sunday school to the youth, like the last thing I think I did as a Sunday school teacher is I was like,
quit.
I was tired.
That's the last thing you did. You quit.
Yeah, but we found somebody. It worked out. I was tired of doing the books, and like I didn't feel like the kids were really engaging. And so I picked something that was even harder to engage with, and then I said, we're going to read through Proverbs. And like one of the pervasive ideas in Proverbs.
Beware the adulteress.
Well, yeah, that, like every chapter, but which is good. Teenagers need to hear that. But also just like this idea of wisdom being not something that you can nail down as like a way to always act. A lot of Proverbs can seem contradictory because it's trying to teach you, A, you know, depend on God as your source of truth and wisdom and where you take your guidance. But apart from that, that a lot of situations have to be, like, life is different. Situations are different. The answer is not always the same for two situations that may seem very similar. I don't know.
Correct.
I forgot where I was going with that. I lost my train of thought. Thanks. It's contagious.
But, I found my train of thought later, by the way.
Oh, did you? Yeah. Where was it going?
It was about the Egyptian and the Israelite armies. In the first sermon, I was going to emphasize that God, you know, instructs us to be gracious to those who are inside the faith, like the Israelites, and likewise to be gracious to those who are outside faith, like David was to the Egyptian. That was the train of thought there. And then I went a long ways to talk about how I changed my sermon, and then I was like, it's gone.
You gave me time. Now I thought of where I was going.
You're welcome.
That just like niceness or kindness, like when you're telling somebody, be nice. Yes. Always be nice. When possible. Like, you know, but you get what I'm saying about wisdom. Like, yes, you should always do this thing, but there are instances in which you should not. Like, that you just can't, because it would go against other greater wisdom.
Yeah, and you see this in other places in the Bible as well, where it's, you know, honor your father and mother.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if your father and mother are commanding you to sin,
mm-hmm.
well, you don't obey a command to sin. You know, and we get that clearly taught in Acts, where Peter and John are taken by the Sanhedrin after healing a guy, and they're like, never talk about Jesus again. And they're like, you decide for yourselves if it's right to obey God or men. We can't help but speak about that which we've seen and heard. So we're going to keep talking about Jesus.
Honor your father and mother, but he who will not give up father and mother, sister and brother to follow me is not, you know,
so there's general broad categories you'll see throughout scripture that are truisms, but that there may be specific opportunities for, you know, some greater command to be followed in that moment.
Yep. I found it really hard to teach teenagers that stuff in retrospect. In retrospect, I probably wouldn't do that again. But
they're always looking for the exception now. How can I disobey this? Maybe I don't actually need to beware this adulteress. Maybe this is a special adulteress. I was just trying to impart
some wisdom, and I didn't feel like I had any, so I'd just go to the one place that's all about it. Yeah.
Hey, what's with the purple toenails there, Zach? What's that all about there?
I have a 5-year-old daughter.
You do? Is she paying for you? That's what that's
all
you?
About, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, good job, Rudy. I just saw that and I thought, those are fabulous.
See how far they're grown out?
Yeah, it's been a minute, huh?
I just let them grow all the way out.
And then she'll do it again and whenever she feels like it.
Yep.
Okay. So that's kindness. So we've done patience, right? And then we have kindness. Mm-hmm. So then we have
Goodness.
All right. What is goodness?
I don't know, man. I've been thinking about this one. It's tough.
Well, you've been thinking about it. Well, you should have some great wisdom now.
Yeah, that why do you call me good? Only God is good. You know, like that's the only verse I really think about is like that only God is good. Okay. Well, in so far as I can figure it out, that means be like him or, you know.
That's great. So if you were paying attention on Sunday, which I know you were locked in.
Yeah.
I talked about goodness for a little bit in there as well. And I said, goodness is holiness in action, right? So it's acting in a way that is holy.
Yeah.
So in whatever the situation is, this kind of like WWJD bracelet moment. Mm-hmm. Like, what is the right decision? How do I act in holiness? And when you act in holiness, you're going to find that you're being consistently good. And so like for the sermon, it was David, his reputation that he had, even with the Philistines, was like, this is an honorable man. He's like an angel to us. Like he's, you've been nothing but good.
Yeah, that dude was even pouring it on a little bit thick.
I think he really...
You've been like an angel to us,
I think David. He really needed David to be his
apparently
person. But, you know, the idea is that it's acting in holiness. And holiness is one of those attributes of God where he's set apart, different, distinct, pure, blameless. That's the conduct. As we grow in our spirit-filledness, that's the conduct that will be coming from us, is consistently where we'll behave in a holy manner, which with that definition is like very illuminating of all the areas where I have shortcomings, because I'm like, whoa, I am so far from holiness in this area. So what would goodness look like? How can I know if I'm doing goodness well, if I'm being gooder than I was?
Tough to explain, even tougher to attain, but... Man, I think your reputation would go a long way to telling you whether you're...
That's kind of where I was thinking. Like, like in the sermon where like this Achish guy's like, man, we just know you're awesome.
Yeah. Just a good dude. But
But a good in the definition, like when God spoke and he saw the light and he said, it is good. Mm-hmm. Like that sense of good, not the
colloquial sense of good, but the real like what we're talking about here, the definition.
When people die, you kind of have these, I don't even know how to say the word, like hagiographies, the
hagiography.
H-A-G-I-O-G-R-A-P-H-Y. And the idea is like they write these eulogies or these obituaries about these people in everybody. They're just great. Good guy, good dude.
They're wonderful. Lionized.
Yeah, like what a good, wonderful father, great that.
Yeah.
But if you had talked to...
And everybody in the audience is like...
If you had talked to that same person who wrote the obit 6 months prior, I said, tell me about Daryl. Ah, you know, Daryl's got a... You get a much more honest assessment of them.
Don't let him near your cooler. Like that, Daryl, that's the guy you're talking about now.
And so like we... It's not... Goodness is not what you'll hear about in...
Daryl.
Yeah. Sorry, Daryl.
Do we have a church member named Daryl?
No, I chose
it. Okay, that's
currently not occupied by a church.
Everybody we talk about in a...
I mean, that we probably have a church member named Daryl, but they're not currently actively attending.
He's not hearing this.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But if you are Daryl...
Sorry.
Stay out of my cooler. but you know, everybody's good when people are speaking of them at the end. I mean, we don't speak ill of the dead. And we speak, you know, really well. We lionize them and we make out, you know, wonderful stories about them. That's not the goodness that we're talking
about. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like this is on a moral scale of good and evil.
Empirical goodness.
Yeah, like this is right and wrong.
Yeah.
You are choosing right. You're acting right. You're acting holy in every situation. Consistently acting in a holy manner, right? Would be someone who's like, oh, that guy's pretty good. And that's why we would say, like, Jesus, like, why would you call me good?
Yeah.
Because I'm not good. Like, maybe I'm gooder on some, like, man-made scale of, like, I do a couple more good things than the average person.
Yeah.
Like, holy things than the average person. But I'm not good. Because when you put that scale up against, like, the divine, like, rubric, like, oh, I got 0 out of 10. Good job, Matt.
Yep.
But yeah, goodness grows in us. We act in a manner in accord with the will of God. And so while WWJD, that What Would Jesus Do, kind of fad, that was around when you were young as well, I assume.
That was late 90s, right?
Yeah.
No, that was, it started like mid 90s, yeah.
And so like that was.
If you went to like a DC Talk concert, everybody would have WWJD bracelets on. Yeah. That was that time frame.
Yeah, for sure. DC Talk didn't turn out very well, did it?
Oh my goodness, dude.
Toby Mac's holding down the fort.
Toby Mac.
He's holding down the
whole. Help us, Obi-Wan Kenobi. Yeah. You're our only hope because Kevin Max and Michael Tate just took a nosedive.
Yeah.
But I didn't, not on my bingo card, you know.
I don't know. I don't trust any of these guys.
I don't. You can't. You know, like, I can't. Like Stephen Curtis Chapman, just come on. Don't let it come out that you're like secretly embezzling funds or something. Because
yeah, we don't need any more bad stories.
We don't need it.
People from our childhood who were spiritual like directors or whatever. But yeah, if you're trying to behave good, I think that question of what would Jesus do could be a question that like helps you discern sometimes, like what would be the holy action in this moment? Should I cuss out the waitress because she got everything wrong?
No.
Probably not. That's not probably what Jesus would do, right? Like, how can I respond to this person in a way that models Christ? And again, it's not niceness. It's like living holy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I've got this situation in front of me. What is the right, like actual right versus wrong thing to do? Yeah.
The final thing I'd say about goodness is that there are people who have a lot of it, and that's the, like, two or three people in my life, like, come to mind that I'm just like, that's a good person. I was pointing this way, but, but you can just, it's like qualitative. Can't really put your finger on it, but they've kind of got all these things. Like it seems to, I know it's in the middle of the set, but as a subset, it kind of explains everything else here. If you're practicing all these other things, that's the act of practicing goodness.
Yeah. And people will pick up on that. They may not even understand it fully.
Yeah.
Like he's a good guy.
Yeah.
And they mean that in a slightly different way than, like, he's a good bowler.
He's a good dude. Yeah.
You know, like he's like good.
Yeah.
Like he does good. I don't know.
Yep.
Just consistently. If I need something, I know when he says it, it's going to happen because he's honest or upright or good.
I had a boss that I felt that way about, and then my uncle I felt that way about. I was trying to think of one other person that came to mind, but just like
current pastor, Zach, that's the one.
Current pastor. You're going to make me do it.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that, Zach.
No, you're a good dude.
Like Daryl.
Like Daryl. Okay. I don't like to compliment people while they're around.
Oh. Well, that's not noble at all. I just do backhanded things when they're around. But when they're not there, I'll be like, love them. It's perfect.
It means more. Yeah. What else about goodness? Anything else?
I've said all the good things I can say about goodness. So we've got love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness,
mm-hmm.
forbearance
mm-hmm.
for Zach over there.
Mm-hmm.
So we're six of them in, 2/3 of the way through the fruit of the Spirit. And these are things that the Spirit should be developing, developing in you as you submit yourself to the Spirit.
I'm going
to
go home, crack open my Strong's and see what it says about the patience forbearance dichotomy. Curious what the Greek word is.
I didn't do that research this week. Yeah.
You did it last week.
I did. I know. You got that 1 week. I might have been able to do it today, but you moved my start time up 15 minutes.
I just gotta get home. I gotta get home.
Fair enough.
Help my wife with these kids.
If you stay long enough, they'll be in bed when you get home.
No.
Can you imagine if we were up here for 4 more hours?
No, they won't. You would hear about it.
You think my phone would start ringing?
Not only would I hear about it, you would hear about it. Yeah.
At Feed Rockdale tomorrow.
Yeah.
It would not be a
yeah.
wouldn't be nice Taylor.
Yeah. No. Well, she would be kind. She might not be nice.
She'd be like, "Hi, Matt."
Yeah.
You will never keep my husband.
Y'all are going to have to find another time.
Yeah. I think the podcast is done.
We're gonna have to start doing this at 11 p.m. after the kids are asleep. Yeah.
Yeah. That would your kids go to bed at 11?
No. Oh. They would be asleep well before then, is what I'm saying.
My goodness. I'm gonna say, Zach.
No, they're going to sleep.
Schedule.
They're going to sleep whatever time I get home. It's 6:09 right now. Yeah. I didn't take a nap today from what I heard. they're not being very kind, patient,
or good. Yeah.
Yeah.
That original sin, you can see it in them coming out of them.
Yep.
All right. So that's where we are. No nonsense this week. We got nothing. There's plenty of nonsense out there.
I get tired of the nonsense. I thought about that on the way up here, but like I said, I've been doing good at like not looking at social media, which is where I see all the nonsense.
Yeah.
So I'd have to tell you about just like something dumb that happened in life, and I can't think of anything.
I saw an AI-generated photo of Hulk Hogan wrestling John MacArthur in heaven.
So that's actually...
That's nonsense, but I did
see nonsense, but I would like to see that. You got it handy?
No. Since I saw it, I'm sure if you Google that, you'll find someone else has got that.
I forgot MacArthur died.
Yeah. 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 So there it's a heaven.
And R.C. Sproul is just like...
Someone was the ref, and I couldn't identify who the ref was. It was
probably Sproul.
Maybe. Maybe.
If it's the type of person that's going to make a meme about
John MacArthur,
it's probably just full Ligonier.
Yeah, saw another one that might have been Not the Bee who did a thing where it's like John MacArthur gets to heaven and starts instructing Peter on the things that he had got wrong.
Yeah.
Peter, let's talk. Look at this a little closer here at the gate.
You know, for all the, like, I don't know. I don't really have any criticisms, MacArthur. But some people like him, some people don't. But I listened to him a lot when I was like, it was probably like 7-8 years ago. Learned a lot from him, so was sad to see him die. It was cool that he got to preach through the whole Bible before he passed, though. He finished up his exegesis from the pulpit every Sunday of doing the whole Bible. Pretty big feat.
I was looking at my list of what I've preached here. It's not insignificant in 10 years.
No, it's not. Can
cut out.
No, because we'll try to think of a book and you'll be like, I've done that.
Yeah, I think I'm moving to 1 Timothy next.
Well, that's cool.
So that Seth and I were talking about that today. So we're finishing up Samuel this next week. This Sunday will be our last one in 1 Samuel.
We're not going to go to...
One day. If you stay around for another 5 years, Zach, maybe we'll hit 2 Samuel and follow David's life some. Yeah. I've done some in 2 Samuel because I did like a brief hit on like the life of David, some highlights of the life of David.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't go straight through like I typically preach. So
you ever done like Chronicles or Kings? You ever plan on doing one of those?
I mean,
that's a lot of material in those books.
Yeah, I mean, I plan on doing the
eventually
entire
having to thing. Do all of it.
Yeah, there are some stuff that, because like Seth and I were talking about, like Job, and so like Job is like the first 3 chapters of Job really good. Then you've got like the middle 40 chapters of Job, which are, there's a lot of the same stuff. Like there's some wonderful.
Just like there are Psalms that sound very much alike or have the same, yeah. Like, okay, this is obviously written by David, you know, and this one was too. Job feels that way.
Yeah, you get a lot of that, kind of the criticism of Job from a friend and then Job's defense, criticism from another friend, Job's. So it's just kind of.
But wait, there's another friend.
Yeah.
The fourth one comes
new
in.
New guy. Where'd this guy come from?
Yeah.
So he asked me about preaching Job, and I was like, ooh. Yeah. So
I love the book, but it would be tough to preach.
Yeah. Well, part of preaching is coming up with, you know, making sure that what you're saying is true to the text, informs the congregation with something in their life applicable to their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And if the theme is repeated for 40 chapters straight, like at some point you're like, I don't know how to say something different than I said the last 20 weeks, guys. Just like,
yeah, you got.
You're not holy.
You got to start hitting multiple chapters or something like that.
Well,
get through it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Joshua and Seth gave me a hard time because I took 10 chapters in Joshua in one Sunday because it was the conquest and they went to this town and they beat him up and they went to this town and they beat him up, and it was just basically showing how they swept across the Promised Land, taking town.
That's what slowed me down so much in Joshua. I think I mentioned that because it's like I got this National Geographic that's like atlases of the Bible, which I don't really know that it's completely accurate. But I would always be like, oh, where was that? And
a lot of that, there are some of these place names we're not even 100% sure where they are yet.
Yeah, yeah, Exactly. That's what I was about to say. A lot of this stuff we don't know.
You're digging stuff for stuff 4,000 years old, looking for a site of a town that they annihilated 4,000 years ago.
I mean, you don't know where. A lot of people disagree on whether Moses crossed the Red Sea or the Reed Sea. Like, they don't know where he crossed, you know, or where these places he went specifically were, or where he lived while he was in Egypt. There's a lot of stuff lost to time, but yeah, not the ideas.
So yeah, so that's your nonsense of the week, though. John MacArthur MacArthur won the fight, by the way.
Naturally.
Yeah, so Hulk Hogan was curled up in a fetal position as MacArthur's arm was raised by the mysterious judge. Maybe it was Sproul. I don't know. So, yeah, there's that. Okay. Could have been Theo Huxtable, because he also passed away recently.
Huxtable.
The Cosby Show?
Yeah.
Theo?
I never watched the Cosby
Show. You never watched the Cosby Show?
No, wasn't my... I had Full House, Family Matters.
So it's like 5 years too early for you.
Cosby. Yeah, yeah. Cosby was just to
yeah, I was a younger child for Cosby, so yeah. you missed that. Yeah, well, Theo Huxtable was one of Cosby's. It was his son.
Oh, okay.
Cosby Show.
Oh,
Malcolm Jamal Warner. He died. I don't know what else he's been in. That's noteworthy. So
Christian.
Yeah, I have no idea.
No.
Yeah. Hopefully.
Yeah.
All right. I'm gonna close with a word of prayer. Let's do that.
Yep.
Lord, I love you. I'm grateful for. The fruit of the Spirit, I pray that they would grow in me, that I would become more like you. I would behave in a way that honors you, is good, is kind, is patient, forbearing one another. Lord, send us out into this world as salt and light, as people on a mission. You're a good God. Amen.
Amen.
Peace.